Welcome to the word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. Although parts of the Bible are thousands of years old, they still speak to us in our day and in our situation. It is good to turn to God's word in a new year. We have an affirmation of our faith that we share each time, and this one from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the churches in the area of the Greek city of Philippi, a letter called Philippians. In the second chapter, what is often referred to as a hymn of Jesus Christ, for it tells us about Jesus and his work and does so in a metered way, which is noted in the printing of the words in almost every Bible. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Then at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The reading of God's word for today is from the same letter to the churches in and around the Greek city of Philippi, in the first chapter, verses 3 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Let me reiterate some of those words from Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. He works together with them in the work of the gospel. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The day of Jesus' appearing will be the end of time. So this work of Jesus will be completed when it's all over. And here again, for clarity, we must call upon the Greek translators from North Carolina. He who began a good work in y'all. He who began a good work in y'all. Paul is addressing the whole church. He who began a good work in you all will carry it to completion. The month of January, as I mentioned before, is named for the Roman god Janus, who was said to have two faces. With one face he looked into the past, and with the other face he gazed into the future. And that is what we often do in the month named for Janus. We look back and we look forward. People generally seem to want to know about the future, but that isn't just in January. There's a whole area of literature, certainly ever since H.G. Wells that literature called science fiction. Science fiction has looked at the results of pandemics in any number of storylines. What would life be like after a pandemic? I think the more recent Planet of the Apes films are one, science fiction two, deal with life after a pandemic. But science fiction is not helpful to us where we are right now. We are beginning the third year of this worldwide pandemic. The pandemic has been hard on church congregations in the United States, where the pandemic has hit the hardest. Except perhaps India has been worse off, but the numbers are uncertain. Churches, which by their very nature gather together publicly, had to stop meeting together in this pandemic. We at Daleville Christian Church ceased in-person worship twice in the last 2 years. Some congregations lost revenue, not just because congregations weren't meeting, but people lost their jobs. Businesses closed. Other activities of churches were curtailed. Some staff members had to be let go. Ministries ceased to function. Then congregations opened up. In many cases, some church people decided that they preferred to attend worship online. Some congregations have focused on bringing those people back to the buildings of the church, the sanctuary where the church worships. The clergy of America have, as a result of the pandemic crisis, pastors too have been in crisis. At Barna.com, the Barna organization, often taking the pulse of American churches, reported that 2 in 5 Protestant pastors say their understanding of their vocation has changed within the last year, and only 16% say they would strongly agree they have a clear vision where they think their church will be in the next 5 years. In this letter of the Apostle Paul to the churches of Philippi, the Apostle is writing from prison. It isn't certain in what city Paul is imprisoned, and for our purposes it matters little. The most important thing for us to notice is that Paul's death, or the possibility of Paul's death, is on the horizon. Scholars disagree as to the real possibilities of Paul's martyrdom at this time in Paul's life. Paul would eventually be martyred. He would die at the hands of the authorities because of his faith in Jesus. The Corinthian letters reveal that the apostle had given some thought to his own death. Basically, no matter how close Paul might be to death at the time he was writing the letter, Paul was concerned about his death. He was unconcerned about his death, and Paul did not want the congregation to be concerned either. I want you to understand that. Paul, not personally concerned about his death. Paul even mentioned the advantages of death being with our Lord Jesus. Still, Paul was concerned for his churches, and Paul admitted that staying alive would be better for his churches. Still, there was a possibility that Paul might be executed. Now, it would be going too far to say that this letter for the Philippians is a preparation for Paul's absence through death. This letter is not a last will and testimony for the Apostle Paul. However, preparation for Paul's death, for Paul's absence, is in the letter. Preparation for Paul's absence is in this letter. Paul did not know what would happen, and so Paul wrote in chapter 1, verse 27, "Whatever happens, whatever happens, death or living, whatever the future holds for me," Paul wrote, "you conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." So I choose this letter for the beginning of this year because the letter addresses the apostle's absence, Paul's possible execution. Either way, this letter addresses an unknown future. Either way, this letter addresses an unknown future. And so this letter is for our church, is it not? Are we not in similar circumstances, Daleville Christian Church? We have before us this new year about which there is so much uncertainty. And with that uncertainty comes my absence through retirement in 2.5 years. So, maybe the apostles' words speak to us more nearly than we might think here in the letter to the Philippians. The apostle Paul wrote, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Now, Paul said more about that. Paul wrote in the first chapter, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." That is, Jesus began a good work in you and will carry it to completion. That is Paul's confidence. Paul's confidence not so much in the church. Paul's confidence was in Jesus. Confidence in Jesus, that our Lord Jesus would indeed complete what Jesus had begun in the Philippian churches. Please ponder that a moment in our situation. Our Lord Jesus will complete what Jesus had begun at Daleville Christian Church. Amen? You can amen that. You don't have to feel it like the apostle, but you can still amen that. And Paul pointed in the direction of that work which will be completed, and Paul stated that it is the apostle's own prayer. "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." Paul saw growth, or at least Paul was praying for growth, but a growth that Jesus already started in that church. It wasn't a growth in numbers. American Christians, who are so fond, as all Americans are, of bigger and presumed better. See the biggest thing. Attend the biggest church. It isn't a growth in numbers. The apostle was praying not for an abundance of people. The apostle was not praying for an abundance of resources. The apostle was not praying for an abundance in income or tithers. The apostle Paul prayed for the church, the love of you all to abound. Abound in love more and more. It's a stronger word than more. Deeper, more advanced is the love. A deeper love that is more advanced. Now let's pause for a minute and let us remember that lots of American Christians simply do not know what love is. Love is not a feeling. Although I think if you will love someone, you will eventually have some genuine affection for them, even those who are considered enemies. Like the man said, "I love my enemies, why not? I made them." Love is not mostly a feeling. Love is an action word. Many American Christians are afraid of love and forgiveness because they think that it is permissive. That forgiveness gives someone permission to transgress. It doesn't at all. You can prosecute a lawbreaker and still love and forgive them. The Bible says that you reap what you sow. We should not contradict that truth. If you sowed a crime, you should reap jail time. At least. And probably restitution. When someone sins against you and you They sin against you, and that what they did against you didn't break the law. Forgiveness, your forgiveness of them will cost you. It's never cheap grace, because your forgiving them will cost you. Like I've said before, if you forgive a debt of $100, you're still out the $100. That's not cheap in my book. So how is love an action word? Well, as you love the debtor, the former debtor whom you have forgiven, maybe you can find a way to help the former debtor. He's a former debtor because you forgave the debt, so he's no longer in debt to you. Find a way to help the former debtor manage their money or make more money, and you do that without expecting your $100 back because you gave that up. That's love. If it's possible for you to help the former debtor, you may prevent what happened to you from happening to others. Love works that way. The Apostle Paul prayed that his churches would abound in love more and more, in knowledge and depth of insight. That word, depth of insight, is the only place in the entire New Testament that this word is used. Pretty cool, huh? Well, I think it's cool. So we might want to know what the apostle prayed for us. Abounding love and knowledge of that love that is deeper and more advanced. Have you considered taking a course in advanced loving? Did you know that that's exactly what our Lord Jesus wants us to do? Take a course in advanced loving for us to love the Jesus way. And plenty of American Christians can't even do the love basics, let alone be ready for the advanced course. How do I know that? Just look around this world. Just look outside. How are the relationships? How are the marriages? How's the loneliness going? How about white-collar crime? Last November, a Utah man was accused of swindling around $1.75 million from victims by running a Wall Street investment scheme. It wasn't the first time the man had been thrown in jail for fraud. And now his past victims are wondering why he was only given a slap on the wrist the first time. Makes me wonder if someone thought it was more loving to let the guy off easy. Well, it wasn't. And somehow he was allowed to continue to defraud more people after his conviction and brief jail time. I don't think the fraudster knows much about love, Christian or not. Real love is built on some truth, and this guy hadn't got much truth going for him. In Texas, this is from last fall, 11 people were caught in romance scams, getting money from people based on their so-called love for the one giving them money, losing money to them. I think that proves that Americans don't know much about love at all. Love is giving money to someone? That would mean only the rich people can love other people, if that's what love is. Reminds me of that t-shirt I told you about. The Bible says that money's not the most important thing. Love is. That's great, because I love money. The Apostle Paul prays that his churches will abound in love more and more, in knowledge and depth of insight. Sounds like it's time for the churches to know more and receive depth of insight with which they can grow in love. As I mentioned, this depth of insight with love, depth of insight, that word, it's one word in Greek. And you'll find it only here in the entire New Testament. However, we will find it in a Greek translation of the Old Testament Hebrew 22 times in one book. Care to guess which book? The book of Proverbs uses this Greek word, depth of insight, to translate Hebrew into Greek. So we are to love wisely. Love smart. Ever been accused of being a smart lover? That's what the apostle is praying for. God is a smart lover. Ever thought of our God that way? It sounds to me like all those love scam people need a dose of smart love. So, Daleville Christian Church, how are we going to face an unknown future? We must join in the Apostle Paul's prayer for our church as he prayed for the Philippian churches. And this is my prayer: that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And the congregation can join together in saying, Amen.